being confident and really getting that affirmation from God more than your spouse, more than the people you're leading. But really at the end of the day, like God has to be the one that's affirming the call in your life, that's affirming your identity, or else you're just going to be in this cycle of like, I'm not enough. Cause I've been in those cycles where I'm like, I just don't feel like I'm enough. And I'm like, oh, it's because I'm like trying to get that like affirmation from Ben or the young adults or the people I'm leading. And it's just, it's not a win, you know, no one wins in that.
This episode is brought to you by some of our new partners at GFA World.
Gospel for Asia and Africa and world. Our new friends, they're based out of Texas. Mm-hmm. They were with us at the Young Adults Today Leader Conference. And we want you to check out what they have to offer for your young adults who might be exploring a call to missions. They have a paid apprenticeship program. That's a paid apprenticeship program where young adults can learn and discover the call to ministry, discover the call to missions, and be paid for it in the process. They don't want debt or finances to be a hurdle that gets in the way from preventing people to discover God's call in their life to the world.
Well, what's up, guys? Hope you're feeling alive right now. I'm Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts, and this is the Young Adults Today podcast, where we're fanatical about the faith of the next generation. And we know you are as the listener, too. And so each Monday morning, early, we drop new episodes, whether it's on YouTube or wherever you stream podcasts. But we appreciate it when you subscribe, leave us a review, and share this episode with others. Today, we are going to lean into a conversation that's for you, especially if you're wanting to go deeper with God, if you are wanting not to just be a cookie cutter and, you know, copy paste what others are doing in ministry, but really lean into the power of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and see what He has for you in your community and your church. We're joined by our friends, Ben and Janessa Waite. How are you guys? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. We're so excited. I know we've been trying to get this going for a while. So we finally were here right before Christmas.
Yes.
Yes, we are here in the studio today. And for those of you who do not know Ben and Janessa Waite, they are the young adult pastors at Bethel Church in Austin. They're a power couple who have also had their hands in some fun things like real estate, podcasting, home decor. Oh my gosh, we could talk for hours now that I know all of this, right?
And those are just the things we know about.
A lot of hats we wear.
I love it. Well, welcome to the show. We're so thrilled to have both of you. It's always fun to team up with a couple.
We love it. Thank you for having us.
Man, and kick it to, we'll get to your story in just a second, but what Micah and I are passionate about actually is doing ministry together with God and each other. And so I notice a trend in the next generation is a lot of people that we're meeting either desire to get married and do ministry with their spouse or feel called and compelled to do ministry with their spouse. What's it like for you guys to partner together as a married couple in ministry?
Yeah, we love it.
We love it.
So we do everything together. So we have two businesses that we run together, and then we do young adults. We pastor, you know, young adults together, and I think it's awesome. Like, what a blessing it is to get to just partner together in so many different ways. Yeah, we love it.
I think it's been so awesome. And one thing I love is that Ben and I are so different, you know. I'm sure you guys can maybe relate in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
We're so different. And we had to learn in the beginning. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, we know what we're doing together. Like, we had to really learn and adjust of like, oh, Ben has strengths that are my weaknesses, and I have strengths that are his weaknesses, and really approaching all of this like we're a team. We're not competing. Like, we're actually a team. And I let you stay, like, shine in your strengths, and you give me space to shine in my strengths and not try to like dip into the other person's strengths when we know it's our weakness. So that's been like a learning curve for us, but I feel like we've really found our stride in the last couple of years, and it's been really fun. We love it.
I love that. Thanks for going there, Janessa. Even like being mindful that it's our job to team up with one another. If God's called us to lead with our spouse, it's not our job, or hopefully not even a desire for ourselves, is to overshadow the other person or to like run them off the road. And I always describe it as, people ask like, how do you guys do ministry together? Like, you do everything together. You have kids, you have your marriage, you have everything. And it's like, yes, we do. And I think what God gave me a picture early on in our ministry was a tandem bike. It's like Josiah is the front and I'm going to, you know, submit to his leadership. And I'm just as equally in that process of the marriage and in the ministry. So I'm in the back and I'm not a wife that's like, where are we going? It's like, okay, Holy Spirit, like we're in tune with you. We're on this trip together, but we have to be in cadence with one another and with God. And if I'm breaking and he's going forward, we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear Janessa from a female standpoint. Sorry, Ben, if you want to tap into this, you sure can. But we know a lot of women who are like their husbands are in ministry and the woman has a calling, whether they're getting licensed, maybe ordained, maybe they're leading a nonprofit, they're stepping out of their previous role, and now they're going to lead together. And it might already be an established ministry, nonprofit, campus ministry, something along those lines where the man has been able to lead strong, maybe in singleness, maybe even in marriage. And the wife's like, I have a calling too. And the husbands most definitely recognize that and they want that. How can you encourage the woman listening who's just getting started saying, wow, all they see is my husband and I just feel like the leftover. I just feel like I'm tagging along, but I'm really not. Like I'm doing so many things behind the scenes, but what it is a male saturated environment for the most part, women can definitely feel isolated. And I would just love to hear, how would you encourage somebody who's really trying to find their place in the ministry that God has called a couple to lead together?
That's a great question. I think I definitely felt that in the very beginning of like, oh, I maybe, and this is just me, like Ben didn't do anything. It was just my own, just working out my identity, some insecurity I had to work out of. I feel like I'm in the shadow of my husband. And I think for a long time, I realized like I was actually trying to be him when God never actually called me to look like him. Wow. And I think that's the mistake that can happen is like, you know, you want to try to look like your husband, you're going to fail because you're not meant to look or sound like him. And so I had to really go to the Lord and find my identity there. And also just be clear and share some of the feelings I've had. And he'd revalidate of like, you know, that's not true, or just communication. And so I would say for those people, women that just feel that like, oh, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'm not seen or whatever, just realizing you're not meant to look like your husband. You're going to shine in your own way. And there's a process to that. Like, especially when, if your husband's been doing this for a lot longer and you're stepping in, you know, like there's going to be a process to that and enjoy that process. And you're going to grow and you're going to learn, but also being confident that your voice is just as powerful than your husband's, and being confident and really getting that affirmation from God more than your spouse, more than the people you're leading. But really at the end of the day, like God has to be the one that's affirming the call in your life, that's affirming your identity, or else you're just going to be in this cycle of like, I'm not enough. Because I've been in those cycles where I'm like, I just don't feel like I'm enough. And I'm like, oh, it's because I'm like trying to get that like affirmation from Ben or the young adults or the people I'm leading. And it's just, it's not a win, you know, no one wins in that. So really going to the Lord and just, yeah, being confident that your voice matters, you know. And so, yeah, that's what I would say to that.
So good. Thanks for answering that and going there. Cause I know we have a lot of female listeners who maybe aren't married, maybe they're desiring marriage. And they know that they're called into ministry, whether they team up with their future spouse, or maybe they're leading something themselves. So I think a lot of our audience is navigating those elements. So thanks for going there and going back to the identity. Our identity is in Christ, and it's not the affirmations of our husband or those around us. Like, does it feel good for a while? Yeah, but it's still empty in comparison to when we draw from the true well.
Oh my gosh. I noticed those two words that stand out that you just highlighted are identity and insecurity. Mm-hmm. And man, the power of the Holy Spirit is a secure force that we don't need to strive, that the greatest accomplishment over our life is what he's done for us and who he's called us to be. And dive into a little bit of your guys's story, how you met, your journey of, you know, discovering a call to ministry. Go there for a little bit.
Yeah, I'll start, and then Janessa can share her story a little
bit.
But
just kidding.
Yeah, so for me, I grew up in church. I got born again when I was 8 years old. But what's interesting is I kind of just lived in the, you know, partway in the world, you know, like a lukewarm Christianity, I would say. And so when I was in high school, I had an encounter, and I didn't know what that was, you know, like that God could encounter us in this way. But I was actually at a party. So I was like sobering up, like, you know, I was just in the world having fun. And it was the middle of the night, 3 a.m. in my friend's garage. And my friend was going to the same youth group. So we would party and then go to church on Sunday. And he's sharing like these testimonies of a missions trip that he went on. And on this trip, they prayed for this. So they had this miracle happen where they prayed for this car that they filled with the wrong type of gas. So it was like they put diesel fuel in a regular gas car in Europe. And I'm a car guy. So I was like, oh no, that's like a disaster. Like that's going to ruin the car for sure. And so it you know, they drive like half a mile and it just like shuts down. And then they pray for the car and it gets completely healed. And they drive 150 miles with the wrong fuel in the car. So it's like this miracle. And I'd never heard of a miracle happening before. And so I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I have this encounter, or I didn't know what it, like I would call it a vision now, I guess, because my eyes were open, but I saw this ocean and it was like as far as you could see. And I knew in my spirit that, like, I just had this knowing it was the ocean of the knowledge of God and it was eternal. And it like planted the seed in my heart where I was like, you know what? I think this, I know God's real, but I think there's more than just like going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much more. And so I ended up going and doing a YWAM DTS because of that encounter. I was like, I have to search this out. And so I was like, God, I give you this 6 months. Like, here I am, you know, like, show me if you're real, like, just, you know, show me. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks in, I had an encounter with the love of God where I was baptized in his love. So like physically, I felt like liquid love get poured through my body. It was a moment of surrender. So I was surrendering everything to the Lord. And I get filled with this liquid love. And I encounter the love of God. And it just like transformed me forever. I was wrecked. I was done. Like, there's no going back after that. I was just like, I am all in for Jesus because he's real and he's tangible and the Bible's real and everything in the Bible is like tangible. It's real. Like his love's not just a good idea. It's like this real encounter, you know, with him. And so that's kind of what set me on fire, you know, for the Lord and led me to move to Redding, California so that I did a school there eventually. And that's kind of where we met.
Yeah.
So your story is a little different.
Mine's very different. I grew up in like a revival culture. So my dad was a pastor growing up, and I remember just we'd see miracles and healings like since I was little, like prophets coming in giving me words since I was 5 years old of the nations and all this crazy stuff. So I just was always surrounded by that culture. But yet in that environment, I still didn't have this piece of identity, and that, you know, it's just wild that you can be in the right environment and still not know who you are and whose you are. And so for a long time, my identity was really wrapped around performance, and, you know, it just worked. You know, you do something for God, you feel closer to him. It just was a cycle that I lived in for so long. And I just, again, didn't know who I was. I just thought that the more I did for God, the more closer I got. And this kind of led me into burnout, actually, at age 17. I mean, I was going out on the streets, like, almost like every week at 15, 16, like, just trying so hard to really earn love, you know, that was already freely given. And then I hit burnout at 17. And for 6 months, I just, like, turned away and I walked away from the Lord, and I just kind of went into the world because I was so tired of, well, if, you know, I've been trying all these things and for whatever reason, I wasn't feeling his presence as much. So it just kind of led me to, well, if God's not here, then why am I even bothering trying? So I went to the world for 6 months, and by his grace and his mercy, he took me out of that worldly kind of lifestyle. And thank God it was only 6 months, but when I remember, it was kind of, I hit rock bottom and I called my youth pastor and I was like, I need to talk to you right now. And they're like, all right. So I drove to the office and I just ran and I fell on my knees and I just began to weep and weep and just confessed everything I'd done in that 6 months. Cause I did a lot of it in secret because my dad was a pastor. I was at a Christian school. I had a lot of shame. I just didn't want people to know all the things I had done, you know? And I just began to repent and just cry. And I knew I was getting some deliverance in that, just letting it all go. And then after that, him and another youth lady or youth leader, she was there and we sat down and he was like, all right, well, now that you've repented, God wants to fill you up right now. And so I just sat there and I had my hands open and they just began to pray for me. And I felt this tangible peace that I still to this day have never experienced. I felt like I was floating. I felt like I was in another realm. The peace, it was truly the peace that surpasses all understanding. Like I can't even describe it to you. It was unworldly. And I remember just being in that place. And then all of a sudden I got caught up in this vision, another vision, a vision of just this castle. And it was this kingdom. And I remember looking at over this kingdom, like an aerial view kind of thing. And I saw all these servants and they were scurrying and they were hurrying and they were bringing gifts and they would run into the kingdom and they go to the throne room or the king's court and they would bring the king a gift and then they would give it to him and then they would turn around and run back out. And there was so much busy activity. And I remember being like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff happening here. And the Lord began to speak to me, said, Janessa, do you see all these servants? He said, they're doing a lot of great things for me. They're doing amazing things in my name. They're bringing me great things. But he said, but did you know that at the end of the day, my inheritance doesn't get passed down to servants?
Come on.
And I remember just seeing like in this vision and it just like all of a sudden revelation began to come. He said, you've been a servant your whole life. And if all you did was come up and sit on my lap and just be a daughter for the rest of your life, that would be enough. And that like that truth just it wrecked me and it changed my life. And I realized even if I sat on the Father's lap, all that is his would be mine. Inheritances get passed down to sons and daughters, not servants. And so this just totally changed everything for me. I came out of this vision and I remember I heard the Lord speak so clearly saying, don't do anything for a year. Like don't serve, don't be in the worship team, like just, which I know sounds really contradictory, like we want people to serve and we, you know, we love that. But for me in that season, God was like, don't serve. I knew that I had to be obedient. And so for a year, I had to learn what it was to be a daughter and to be with the Lord and to receive his love and not try to earn it. And, you know, Ben has a saying like being a sponge where you just soak up, you know, the goodness and the love of God. And I had a year of learning how to be a sponge before the Lord. And then after that year, I decided to go to, Redding, California as well, where I did the Bible college and we met and yeah, it was life-changing that season as well.
It sounds life-changing and that insight, you both have moments where you've had encounters with God, you've seen signs and wonders and miracles, and hopefully we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But I just think that was a deep revelation that speaks to me. Mm-hmm. I pray the listener will, catch that while they may be called to a season of rest or not, the same truth that the Holy Spirit imparted to you is the same reality for all of us, that we are not just servants, we're sons and daughters of God. And what a shift in perspective and mindset that mm-hmm. really brings. Take us to Austin and Bethel Church. What does young adults look like, you know, with the young adult ministry at Bethel?
Yeah, so we've been here 6 years or so, I think. Our 5-year anniversary was recently. So yeah, we helped plant the church and then we launched the young adults ministry. So yeah, it's interesting. There has been a shift like from when we started to now, because we had a lot of millennials when we started. And now it's all Gen Z.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like a big shift. That shift is massive.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's been interesting because we have shifted from a lot more like larger corporate gatherings to a lot more smaller, like small group, Bible study,
discipleship
yeah. type things for Gen Z. So I don't know, I guess it's just the need for Gen Z, but we were just seeing that, you know, we had a Bible study at a local coffee shop every week. And it just exploded. You know, there's 30, 40 young adults going to a Bible study at a coffee shop, you know, and then we would see, like, just that every week there'd be somebody that would walk up to the table and be like, what are you guys doing? You all have your Bibles out. Mm-hmm. Or they'd be like, are you guys Christians? And all of a sudden, like, people started getting saved and started to, like, all this fruit started to happen. Yeah. And so we're like, I think God's doing a new thing with Gen Z. And so right now we have small group Bible study stuff at, like, most days of the week just going on. And then we only meet corporately kind of once a month, which is a big shift for us. We used to meet weekly corporately. And so that's kind of what it looks like for us right now. And we have mm-hmm. some amazing leaders. Yeah. And it takes empowering leaders to run all of that. Sure. But it's been really fun and really mm-hmm. cool to see what God's doing.
Yeah.
What fires me up about what you just said is there was an openness for you guys to the mission didn't change. It was about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. But there was a method of you were meeting weekly corporately, and then that switched to, oh my gosh, there's a need for community. And I think that there is a felt need with Gen Z mm-hmm. and just in our culture at large, among a lot of different generations, is people are giving us feedback that we really want relationships. We mm-hmm. just watched The Grinch with our daughters, and you get to the end of the movie. He's like, wow, I guess it wasn't Christmas that I hated. It was being alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, if that movie just didn't preach about how it's not good so for a man to be alone, we're going to look like grouchy Grinches. Or, you know, I think that is just so, so powerful. And I mean, why do you believe that young adult ministry, discipling Gen Z, why is that so vital?
I think it's so vital because if we just stop at our own generation, the move of God's going to end with us, you know, like mm-hmm. we need to pass on to the next generation. And I think that there is we've seen amazing moves of God in the past, right? Like just incredible moves throughout history, but there wasn't an emphasis on how to pass it down to the next generation. And I'm convinced if there was an urgency, a priority to really not just let it end with your generation and pass it down, which takes great humility. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of work. It's not always easy and glamorous to pass something down to another generation that maybe doesn't understand and in their language, not just your language, but it just takes a lot. And I think that it's important that we have that multi-generational thinking so that we can see continue and not end with us, because it's not just about us. It's about the up and coming. You know, I want my kids. I want my baby boy to grow up. And there are people that are pouring into him and he's receiving and he's being passed down or taught and raised up as a generation. And so it's just so important. It can't end with us. Like we can't just think about ourselves. It's not just about us. It's about who are we raising up. And Gen Z is, I mean, that's a very important, this is an important generation for, I think, even the coming of Jesus and their role in evangelism, their role in just even what we see on social media and how there is a desire to create content and to get the word of God out there. And so we need to help disciple that and to help them get ready and not in our language, but speaking their language of what God's called them to do.
I think that's so good. Wow, that's said beautifully. And Janessa and Ben, we're having an amazing conversation here. And we kind of want to pivot even into something that I think you guys could resonate with us, that we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you guys have talked a lot about visions and well, you're awake and you see things and all those different things. And I really didn't realize and understand growing up, like I always saw visions. I had the gift of discernment, even as a very young child, and never knew what that meant. Never knew what that looked like. Never was taught. Like you said, like I wish I would have been taught how to use that as a tool. Not obviously not as a weapon, but as a tool for God's kingdom to know and to be in tune with that. And we can see that in Ephesians, some of those gifts and those talents and those spiritual skill sets that God has placed in every single one of us. So there's not a lot of teaching when it comes to the Holy Spirit, maybe some of the spiritual gifts, spiritual warfare. Why do you think that is? First, maybe you want to, one of you unpack what are they a little bit? And then why do you think that we maybe as the church or Christians have kind of shied back and maybe not leaned into what the word of God truly says? Because even Ben said, the word of God is real. It's truth. It's tangible. So whoever wants to take whatever side of that, I think you guys can shed some amazing insight.
I can start and Janessa can jump in. I mean, I think this is a big question. Yeah. So we'll do our best to kind of shine light on it. But I think first, like what's most important is like for us, like we love the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit would come. That is a crazy statement, because if we think about it, like, do you want to have Jesus with you? Like, can you imagine if you could have a choice to have Jesus
in the flesh with you right now?
And yeah. Jesus is like, no, it's better that I go.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit's going to come. And for us, the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yeah.
He isn't like a mystical, you know, fog or whatever, or a feeling. Although he manifests in different ways, he is a person that we can have a relationship with. And he's just as much God as Jesus is God and the Father is God. Like, they are one. And so I think, like, for us, we're passionate about him and his presence, you know, and with that, we've noticed that when your focus is on him, good things tend to happen around you. And I mean that like in a good way. When you host God's presence, when your attention is on him, when you invite him to come, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus like a dove. And so there's this thing of like hosting the presence of God. And we just noticed like the gifts of the Spirit kind of come out of that. And, you know, it's, we don't want to make the gifts everything. I think some people have done that where it's like, this is our only focus. It's all about the gifts. No, it's all about Jesus. Like our focus is on him. But as we focus on him, like good things happen. And I, one of my favorite stories in Reading is we had this guy walk into the building, and we were just hosting God's presence in, we call it the encounter room. It's just this room where we're just putting our attention on the Lord. There's dancers, there's music, there's artists, and we're just hosting his presence. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he was born deaf in his left ear, born deaf, 100%, walks by the door to this encounter room where the presence of God was just so strong. And God like jumps out of the door and bam, his deaf ear pops open. Like nobody prayed for him. This is crazy. Nobody prayed for him, just in the presence of God. And so for us, we love the gifts, and we, you know, we ask the Lord, you know, the Bible says like, you know, earnestly desire that you may prophesy. Like we ask the Lord and we desire the gifts, but our attention is on him, you know, and he is the gift giver. And, but when you focus on him, we've noticed like, good things happen, you know, and the visions come, that, you know, there's the prophetic and healing happens, and we need that stuff. We need that. We need the power of God. And I'll say that that's really important for this generation.
Yeah.
We have to have the power of God. You know, the gospel is not powerless. And I think a lot of people are feeling like victims, but it's like, no, God has actually given you power to preach the gospel, and power to see the sick healed, and power to see people delivered. And that's really, I would emphasize, deliverance is on God's heart. You know, he doesn't want you depressed or anxious, and those things you can, the gospel is powerful enough to set you free from those things. It's powerful enough to set you free from addiction and sin. And so all of that stuff, like the gospel is, it's true. Like the Bible is true. It actually is the power of God. And so we need those things, and we're passionate about those things. And I think maybe one reason it's not taught more is people are sometimes scared, you know, nervous And I think it's like a little bit of us wanting to have control, right? Sometimes that what if we let go and surrender to the Lord and trust him and let him move, you know, mm-hmm. even in a church service, like what if we do this all the time. Not, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but with the Holy Spirit's moving, we'll cancel our plans mm-hmm. for a church service. Like,
no pitching. And
it's a big deal. Like it's a big deal to do that, yeah. but yeah. like he is our priority, right? Not our agenda. Schedule and yeah. our agenda, right?
So good.
How about this, Janessa, for the listener who's like wanting to understand God more, because Ben, you set it up perfectly. I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the gifts. It is about the gift giver. And mm-hmm. if we had to choose, I think a great question for our own heart check and posture is if we had to choose heaven without God, or you know what I mean? Like, do we love God or his gifts at the end of the day? And mm-hmm. so for the leader who's like, no, I want more of Jesus. And this year I want to cultivate more of a reservoir of just a deeper depth and intimacy with the Holy Spirit and more of a connection with God. How can we as leaders cultivate, aside from what we can do for God, just like a deeper intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Where are a few starting places?
Yeah, I mean, I think first it starts by prioritizing, right? Like prioritizing and making that your first agenda, you know, and it's easy. Like I get it. There's seasons where it just feels like you're trying to just get through the to-do list. Like, I got to do this. I got to do that. Especially if you don't have an administrator and you're kind of, you're doing all the roles and you're like, I got to do it all. Like you can get so caught up in that. And we've all been there. There's no shame in that. But the invitation that there is that the Lord's inviting us to come away with him. And it's, you know, there's a statement that Heidi Baker says that more can happen in his presence than just years of striving. Right. And so you're just prioritizing the Holy Spirit and turning your heart's affection, attention, and really yielding. It really comes down to yielding to the Holy Spirit, where you'll begin to see a lot of fruit. Like all intimacy flows through, you know, all fruitfulness flows through intimacy, from intimacy, and really prioritizing it. It's going to take a sacrifice, you know, sometimes if, you know, especially in the day-to-day, like if you have a ton of meetings, like what if Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and you feel it, like there's gonna be moments where like, can you cancel a one-on-one? Can you cancel a meeting because you can feel that tug? Like what could happen in that response where you come away with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, and you let him speak to you and touch you and encounter you? And so it is a sacrifice to prioritize the Lord and the Holy Spirit in his presence, but it is so worth it, and the fruit that comes from that. And so really just having like that bigger inner life than outer life, the ministry, like having that inner, bigger inner life is so crucial to have a successful ministry. You know, I think that that's a really big part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Yeah.
I think that's incredible. And even as a leader is listening, just to be challenged to make room and time and space for the Holy Spirit and for God, reading the word in worship, in reverence for him. And I just love that you even talked about just yielding, just sitting in his presence and yielding. Yield is just slowing down. It's waiting. It's enjoying. I think when we live in such a fast paced world and society and the culture of which we live says faster, bigger, stronger, like let's go. But in reality, I think God's saying the opposite. Slow down, breathe. Listen, you have two ears, one mouth, like, let's just be mindful. Yeah. Like, and
can I just,
yeah, sorry.
This is where my mind is going to.
Go ahead.
And it could be my thought, but just for the listener, because there's such a wide diversity, even in the people watching or listening, of for sure backgrounds and mm-hmm. stories, but also even just different experiences or traditions in the church. You might have some who are like full-blown charismatic and Pentecostal, and they're like, yes, the gifts, more. And then there might be some who are like newer to faith altogether, or there could be some that maybe have more of an experience or tradition where, man, it's really logical. And I love the Wesleyan
the quadrant, right?
The Wesleyan quadrilateral.
There you go.
on a Monday morning here.
It's cold out. Maybe that's why your mouth's not working it.
But this idea, John Wesley was just talking about, like, first of all, we learn about God in community. Going back to our earlier point, it's not about isolation. Mm-hmm. It's about an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And then all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that just knowing that some people have an experience or almost like predisposition where you might be more logical, mm-hmm. or maybe have a lot of emphasis on the scripture, or even others where it's like history and tradition. And then that other quadrant is like the experience. And so I think just, I want to say that to set the listener free of like, man, I think that, what we try to do is a pretty balanced perspective where you're going to hear from a lot of different camps about the fullness and the vastness of the power of God. But here would be my challenge. Just on Twitter this week, there was a football game where I watched a head coach yell at the star quarterback, and it wasn't a good look. That clip kind of went viral, but it just wasn't a good look. Like, in my opinion, that's more of a locker room. If you privately have those conversations, what we want to do is publicly advocate and privately critique or ask questions. And I think even I watched two different pastors or ministry leaders on Twitter bash each other, run each other's name through the mud, and it wasn't a good look. And I think I'll speak from my own experience where I was at an outcry tour event and brought into a space where I didn't even know some of the leaders, but they were really kind to me. And I felt in the moment that the Holy Spirit spoke to me of, man, what mm-hmm. I say about the bride of Christ is actually really important. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you're at, just having an openness towards God, towards the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of grace that whatever your background is, my encouragement mm-hmm. would be is to ask questions for sure. And even if you find yourself like you're an engineer or you're skeptical, man, there's space for your questions. But I just wanted to jump in to say, like, man, we talked about signs, healings, mm-hmm. wonders, miracles. Somebody who is deaf, didn't even get prayed for, was healed. That's the power of God through the Holy Spirit. But that's going to leave some of the listeners with some questions. And I mean, Ben, Janessa, what would you say to the person who just has sincere questions about the power of God? They grew up in maybe a tradition where it was maybe a little bit more geared towards logic or reasoning. How do you describe some of that miraculous mm-hmm. power of God for somebody who's just like, I gotta understand, I don't have a space for that in my understanding yet.
Mm-hmm. Can you share about your dad, his journey a little bit?
Yeah, my dad's an engineer, actually.
Perfect. And,
I'll just be like raw and honest. So like I had an encounter where God spoke to me to move to Reading to do the school at Bethel. And my dad and my mom like looked up on Google about the school. And there's a lot of like critical kind of like articles. Some of it's like, whoa, that's kind of scary, you know, all this stuff. And they didn't say anything. And so we went together to Reading just to visit. And we walked in the building, and my parents have never been around like the supernatural or mm-hmm. anything like that. And again, my dad's an engineer, so he's super logical. We walk in the building, and they said, immediately we knew that God was here.
Wow.
And that like quenched all of the stuff. So, you know, I think that, I think that hunger is really important. You know, hunger and wisdom, like, don't just, like be wise, you know, don't be drawn by every wind and doctrine out there. Mm-hmm. But like read the word for what it is. And if it's in the word, it's like, it's available.
Yeah,
you know, and so you can hunger after it, and mm-hmm. I think like God mm-hmm. honors hunger, you know, he honors that pursuit of him. And so that would be my advice, is like, if you're hearing this and something's stirring in you, maybe just you know, just start to let your heart hunger after more. Like, and there is more. There's, God is unlimited. There's so much more. And there's, and again, like, if you read the Bible, like, the gospel is the power of God. Like, it, we have to have it. Like, we have to have it. It's not optional. Yeah. And I think there's an invitation for all of us to hunger.
Yeah.
You know, after more.
I would even say to you, like, if there, if you have that, if you're like, oh, I want to know more about this, but I don't understand, right? Even getting around people that are operating that and rubbing shoulders with them. And there's a saying that more is sometimes caught than taught. So sometimes you just getting around someone, there's an impartation that comes. I know for me, and there was a season where I was like hungering to understand more of the presence of God. This was back in BSSM Bible college days. And I was just getting around people that were experiencing that presence because I was hungry. And I think it was really allowing myself to hunger and to find those people and just ask them questions, finding it in the word. And then all of a sudden encounters began to slowly unravel. And I was beginning to, you know, encounter God, but God meets our hunger. Like he will show up. And so getting around people too, I think is a great step. If you're like, I don't know what to do, like, you know, find people around you that are maybe a step further in that and rub shoulders with them and get around them, ask them questions too.
Yeah. I want to add this too, because I think this is so important, because I think a lot of people don't understand this. Just because you are anointed and gifted by God, like, anointing and gifting does not equate character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people feel lesser than, because this person is seeing people healed, like when they pray for them. And it's just so important. Like, it feels like, oh, maybe because they're closer to God, but that's not true.
Yeah.
We've been around enough gifted people to tell you 100% that, like, gifting and character don't necessarily go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you're closer to God or anything like that. It just means you've accessed a grace that's available, or that person has accessed a grace that's available, because it's all a free gift, right?
Yeah.
And so we can access a grace, even though our character is not, you know, it doesn't mean we're closer to God, I guess. I want to break that down, because that's huge. Like, mm-hmm. people get around, you know, other people that are operating and gifting prophetic, and they go, that person's closer to God than me. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. I think everything that you just said there was so profound, that, you know what, people can have the appearance of knowing God, and it's just, at the end of the day, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. We have that same resurrection power available to us, and the distance between us and God, really, he made a way where there was no way. So it's up to us how close or how distant, because he came running after us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just share an experience that was actually been a lot like your dad's. So I heard either, I don't know, maybe an article or just one thing. And it was actually about Bethel. And I love
worship.
Like, this was like, I don't know, 2017 or 2018. We were had just been married. And then I went on a trip with a friend and ended up at an Outcry tour, and we were invited to the green room and
just ended up there.
Yeah. Didn't really belong there, but also didn't really know, you know, what was going on. And I think it was, the Helsers, and I didn't know who they were, but she did. And they were so kind to me. They prayed for me. They led us in worship. And it was during worship, like, it was seriously any doubt or skepticism that I had, or, you know, articles are just like so not helpful sometimes. Like, I had heard one thing or read it. I'm not even sure where it came from, but it was like
an apprehensive nature in your heart when it came to.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was like in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and just, this is what I sensed. Like, Josiah, be really careful what you say about the bride of Christ, about what you say about the church, because I had never been to Reading. I didn't even know who these people were, but it was like two things, the presence of God and openness to the Holy Spirit. But then honestly, their kindness to me, it tore down walls. And so I just have that same hope for the listener, is that we're really careful what we say about the bride of Christ. And at the end of the day, we're open to what God has, what the Bible says, what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do, because that moment, it
marked
just,
you.
It really marked me to just have an openness for the Holy Spirit. And
well, I think with that, I think even if for the listener, when Josiah is describing the Wesleyan quadrilateral, is to keep in mind how you are hardwired and how God created you. You're naturally probably going to gravitate towards one of those quadrants. Now, this isn't the end all be all. I'm not going to put you in a box, and I don't want you to feel like I'm logical. I'm here. They all matter. Scripture matters. The logic and history matters. The supernatural and the charismatic matters. The traditional, like, it all matters. But we're naturally going to bend one way. I'm definitely more in the prophetic. I'm definitely more in that gifting and skill set, words of wisdom and knowledge and discernment. Like, that's just naturally how I'm wired. It takes discipline to care about the historical elements. And then, not to say that I need to visit there, because they are important, because when God does something in the supernatural, okay, what scripture aligns with that? Okay, I'm going to go probably to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, when the Holy Spirit sets gets on the scene. Or maybe like Josiah said, when he's in the room, like, he didn't know who he was in the room with. And little did he know, back home where I was praying that he would have a supernatural encounter, that those walls of the Holy Spirit would totally be broke down. So he comes home and tells me this story. And I was like, you said what to who? Like, do you even know who's like, dude, like, these are some of the most incredible worship leaders of our day and age that are like in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say to a listener, I just want to keep in mind, I tell this to girls that I mentor, there's two things that I say. Number one, I'm not God and I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I do know God and I do know the Holy Spirit's active and live, and I'm just going to let him use me, and whatever he wants to speak through me, I would love to like share with you, and you have access to both of them just as much as anybody else as a believer. Number two, I would say, hey, the three things I would encourage every leader, young adult, person trying to navigate life, I pray is literally every day over my life and over our children. God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for knowledge, and I pray for discernment, because those are three things that we need, not only in this day and age, but in every single thing that we put our hands to know, like, okay, did God say it? If he did, when do I unleash this information, or when do I start this next business, or when do I start this project, or how do we pivot the ministry? Whatever that is, discerning is taking the time to team up with the Holy Spirit in the supernatural way of saying, okay, Lord, show me if there's any pink flags that are going to be red flags later. It can be in a relationship. It can be in my own heart. It can be in leadership. It can be in some of the apprehensive approaches that Josiah may have had. Like, okay, Lord, there's a little pink flag in my heart here. Who put it there? What is it saying?
Exactly.
And he tore that down, right? Because that's who he is, and that's how he can do that. So I would just say for the listener, if you find yourself really wrestling with this conversation today, know that it's okay to wrestle, and it's okay not to have all the answers. And if you start praying that God would be active, alive, and reveal himself to you, Lord, surprise me today. Lord, interrupt my day. I pray for an encounter from you that is undeniable, because I think it's so interesting. And God knows, Ben, when he knew that he had to grab your heart, he had to share a car. Remember that story at the beginning, listener? Okay, Ben, he loves cars. I'm going to share how I allowed this vehicle with the wrong gas, a diesel, put in this gasoline, what should be gasoline, that captured your attention, which allowed you to have access to God and your heart in a new way.
And in a language that you would understand.
Yes. Yeah. And then even for you, Janessa, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm around all these amazing things, but it took like an act of rebellion to come back to, and for God to just call you back home. And I think so many of our listeners can relate to so many of just the four of our stories, just in very different stories on all levels. Yeah. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. Like, he'll speak to you some things where you're like, how did he know that? How did so-and-so know that? Like, when we're obedient, or God lays something on your heart to actively do, you just don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. It's nothing that we've done. It's just our act of obedience and offering back to God in his kingdom, and not building our own in the process. Yeah. So I hope that helps the listener. Yeah. Any elements of ease? Because
you guys want to weigh in on that? We just shared our hearts for a second.
Oh, yes. That's so good.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah.
Okay.
I love that. It was just like, boom, you went, you preached. I loved it.
We did it. We did it. All right. Are you ready for the 5 and 5?
Let's do it. You guys up for it? 5 questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
5 minutes on the clock.
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Question number one, what is God teaching you lately?
Well, I can start. For me, it's been a lot about just process. I feel like I've been in this like year or more than that, just long journey of like really just reminded of like the process and going back to David and just the way that he had to, he was a shepherd and he was in the fields and that God called him to steward and to embrace the process. And before, you know, he was anointed king, but he went back to the field as a shepherd and he still had a season to finish and how, you know, you can have a call. Everyone has a call, but not letting the desire of the call to put you in a place where you're trying to outrun God and you're just you're really in this place of like, okay, I'm in my season today for a purpose and really leading into that process. So God's been unfolding a lot with that in my heart for me personally. But
yeah, are we both answering?
Yeah,
you can go.
Okay, but I'll say it real quick. I'm learning a lot about the ministry of Jesus and how he tried to stay hidden in like everything he did. And I think that there's something to that for a generation in a generation that wants to share everything. Like, what are we doing in secret? And how are we intentionally trying to stay hidden until it's the right time for God to reveal us. So I think that, yeah, that's been stirring in my heart as we're building what we're building. So
a great misconception when it comes to our lives is that visibility is would equate to value, you know, the visible, just because something's visible doesn't mean that it's valuable. And just because something is invisible or behind the scenes hidden doesn't make decrease its value.
Yeah.
And that's profound. What about if you guys could travel one place and bring one snack each, where would you go? What would you bring?
Well, we might have different answers for this. I know we will. I would love to go to Greece. I'm like, our 10-year anniversary is coming up in a couple of years. I'm like, Greece. And I probably would just bring, I mean, the good old chocolate. I love milk chocolate. Give me some good chocolate, milk chocolate, probably preferably like European, because I just think it tastes better. Like Swiss chocolate, just that's my snack.
I would do Hawaii because I just love Hawaii. That's
amazing.
And yeah, I don't know. Let's see, what snack would I bring? Probably something.
You would do like chips and queso.
Yeah, chips and queso.
Like that's just like ammo.
In Texas, so.
Ben has an obsession with chips and queso.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't go wrong with that.
I love it. All right, well, here's the curveball. If you guys could ask us one question today, anything under the sun, this keeps us on our toes. What would you ask us or want to know?
Like anything?
Anything, yeah.
What has been really fun in the season with your marriage and what's been really kind of like a challenge?
Oh,
going
in. So good. I think it's the same answer. I think it's starting this nonprofit. Like,
fun.
We were in a hidden season. I truly feel like for like 5 years, really like being diligent, being obedient, and just doing what God calls to do with like kind of like our head down. And we're like, we feel like we're in a hidden season. And all of a sudden he's like, okay, it's a nonprofit time. We started that. So I think that has been amazing to be able to work together, set our own schedule, our own priorities, be in tune with like the mission, the vision, and just what that is and looks like. To be able to have a blank slate is what I absolutely love to do, whether it's around the house or in the business world or ministry world. So I think that has been such a blessing. I think the challenge with that is finding the new rhythm in cadence, because we're not under... We were under Chi Alpha's umbrella, which is AG National. So there's a chain of covering.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh my gosh, we do have covering. Don't get me wrong, into one or two different forms. But it's like, at what point do we become somebody else's covering?
Yeah.
And I think when you carry that weight and that mantle, when God places it on you, there's challenges that the enemy tries to come at. So I think it's keeping the focus on God, marriage, children, keeping our house in order so we can keep your own house in order first before I can give you more type thing. So
yeah.
I think that has been the fun challenge, tension that we just trying to figure out the last year and a half. I mean, I'm not speaking for you.
Oh my gosh.
I have a question for you.
Bring it. Bring it.
What is the most encouraging thing you see in like Gen Z or the young adults right now?
For sure. I think what encourages me so much is like we went to, I don't know, last week or so, we were on a date night. We went to the University of Minnesota, a campus I love, and we saw their basketball team play. And just getting on a college campus, my heart has always just been set ablaze. Like I light up on a college campus and I see students with a future and a hope and a potential. And I think that overall it's broad, but I see Gen Z, like they want to go. It's like, they're my kind of people in a sense that if God says something, I know he's going to do it. And it's like, let's do that today. Like it's, I could be accused of ready, fire, aim. And I see that with Gen Z is they're like, oh, podcast, ready, fire, aim. Oh, yeah. YouTube channel, ready, fire, aim. Oh, we're going to launch investment properties, ready, fire, aim. Like, and I think that that excites me so much because I guess I would always rather be told, whoa, then giddy up. Like, I don't need anyone to like tell me to get going. I'd always rather have somebody pull back the reins. And same with those I surround myself with. Like, I'd always rather.
There's a lot of horsepower.
Yeah. I'd rather come alongside a generation and say, like, okay, we're going to just redirect and guide rather than like try to move something that's has no inertia, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's so good. Awesome.
Yeah.
So great questions.
That's good.
Back to you guys. Janessa, go then Ben, but can you each tell us about one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, I was trying to think of that. I was like, there's been so many good pieces of advice. I don't know. This one wasn't necessarily given to me, but I heard it and it's always stuck with me. And it's a Benny Johnson quote. That says,
oh, you stole.
I stole it. We can have our
story. We have the same.
Okay, you want to say it?
This is your family theme, maybe. Maybe it's a
it is. Killer. It's such a good phrase. So, I heard this.
You heard like, it before me, so I'll
13
say
13 years ago.
Yeah, he did hear it.
13 years ago, and it stuck every season, it just sticks. So it's stay low, stay close, and stay in love. So that just three simple phrases, but I revisit that monthly for the last, 10 plus years.
Yeah.
That's just such a, stay low, stay close, and stay in love.
Mm-hmm.
If you could keep that, then everything else is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. That was what I was going to say.
That's good. That's so good, you guys. I love that. Okay. Here's the last and final question. If you could leave the listener with one piece of encouragement, what would you leave them with today?
I would say just enjoy the process. I mean, I know it's so cliche, but I think sometimes it's so easy to want to run ahead of God and we want results now. We want the quick turnaround, but just enjoying the season. You only get this process once. And, there's a statement I've heard, all over the internet says like God wants to do, more in you, or God wants to do something in you before he wants to do something through you. And just how like God wants it, like the process is a lot for you too, to prepare you for what he's calling you to, like which is bigger than what you could ever think or imagine. So what you have in mind, God thinks about that 100 times bigger. And so the process you're in now is to prepare you for the bigger vision he has for your life than you have for your life. So enjoying that process and really just doing it with the Lord and with that quote, staying low, stay close, stay in love, and really just, enjoy it with the Holy Spirit.
I would say, it's kind of a broad statement, but make Jesus your everything. Mm-hmm. Like make him the desire of your heart. Make mm-hmm. him the one that when you wake up, the one thing you think about is him. Mm-hmm. Like make him your everything. And you'll find yourself completely satisfied.
Yeah.
Because nothing else satisfies. He's the only one. No ministry is going to satisfy. you know, no social media following is going to satisfy it. No business is going to satisfy only him. And when you wake up in the morning, do you think about ministry? Do you think about your business? Do you think about something else? Or is he your desire? Because if he's your desire, you're going to live a satisfied life.
That's good.
And so that would be my main piece of advice to give.
Absolutely love that. That is a great way to leave this episode and leave the listener with wrapping up or starting maybe your 2024, starting up strong by stay low.
Stay close.
Stay close.
Stay in love.
Stay in love. This is the Young Adults Today podcast. Thank you so much, Ben and Janessa. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you for having us.
I'm all wired up right now. Plug me in, I'm getting charged up right now, yeah.